It was on the 20th November 2000, it was more than 22 years ago, that I preached a sermon which was a ministry of comfort to the church after the death of Mrs. Joan Naylor. And I was thinking about that this week. And I remember speaking to her husband John shortly after the sermon. And in the providence of God, from that time, and it was at the time of the death of his wife, he started attending and worshipping with us. And he continued to worship with us faithfully for the next 22 years. He remained a faithful witness to our Saviour, and he is a dearly loved brother amongst us. When our brothers die, we are forcibly reminded that we are all moving to the day of our own deaths unless the Lord comes again. And what I want to do this evening is use the outline of that sermon and preach a very similar sermon again. My text on that occasion is the same tonight, and it's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. How does this world think about death? This is a taboo subject amongst many people. It is a source of fear and dread amongst some. Generally in this life, this is a subject where there is much silence. If you press even your doctors or the politicians or the so-called wise men of this world, there is no answer that many of them will give you. Rather, they will resort to sentiment and use such phrases, well, he is no longer suffering, or he had a long life. And this world avoids serious consideration of the meaning of death. In fact, many people represent death in the terms of life. So when someone dies, they will say, well, now let's have a time to celebrate the life of. Sadly, in our culture, there is no answer to the meaning and purpose of death itself. Surprisingly, many people in our age believe in reincarnation. If you've come across that, one survey suggested that as many as one in four people believe that there is a cycle of life, or birth, life, and death, and then you go through this cycle again, and you're born again in this world, in some kind of physical birth, and you live a life again, and you die, like an endless cycle. However, despite the fact that in the last 70 years, the Christian faith and teachings about the Lord Jesus Christ has undoubtedly declined, many people still have this perhaps a little vague or very vague expectation that the person who has died has gone, they might say, to a better place. Our job is to answer the question, what does God say on these matters? Which brings me to this text. I read the wider verses around the text to try and give you some of the sense of the background and the mind of the Apostle Paul. When he wrote these verses, he speaks about the great trouble, tribulation, and persecution he was suffering. And he writes these verses at a time when his life was in imminent danger. Indeed, he died, as you know, as a martyr, probably in Rome. And his death was something that he was thinking much about. However, the apostles, when they speak about their deaths, they speak about them, and you see it in this text, not with foreboding, not with doubt, not with fear, not with dread, but rather they look with understanding and eagerness to the life that's going to come. The life that God's promised to every single one of us if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to draw out a few lessons from this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen to what the Apostle Paul is saying to us in God's word. If our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. What's he talking about? Our earthly house. As I said, Paul is contemplating the possibility that he soon might die in all the suffering and the persecution. And he makes this assessment, and he's speaking probably most directly about his own physical life here and now, his body. And when he speaks about himself as he's constituted in his body, he uses this picture of a tent, a temporary dwelling. Our earthly house, our dwelling on this earth is marked by temporariness. Just like a tent is somewhere you go for a short period of time. Tents are normally used for travellers or for temporary dwellings. And the point is that our earthly bodies will pass away. And year by year, our bodies age and they change. And you only need to look in the mirror and look at the photographs to see the marks of decay and decline physically in our bodies. Ironically, this is a thing that the whole world riles against. And there is a massive industry, isn't there, of fighting against this very thing, that our bodies are marked by aging, decay, disease, and even death. And yet our human bodies bear these marks because we bear the marks of sin. And the sin in our bodies manifests itself in our decay and our deaths. Everything about our life now, not just our bodies, is actually marked by, I put in my notes here, for a time. For a time. The houses which we look for so carefully and the mortgages which we pay for so long are for a time. Soon someone else is going to be living in your house. And soon we will not be coming to this place because either the Lord will return or we will come to the end of our time here. So the first lesson that Paul is making in here is when he thinks, the apostles think about themselves and their lives, they got this perspective, and that is, our life and ourselves here, this is a temporary situation. It is an earthly tent. And he says, we know, and he anticipates that at some point, this earthly tent will be destroyed. It will be no more. Our bodies will be buried, and we return to dust. However, he doesn't stop there. Thanks be to God. In part B, he says, a wonderful contrast. I'll put a but in there, but it's a contrast. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I want to draw out the contrast between the tent, our earthly body, and the building from God. which is what God purposes and will give to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly body and our heavenly home. Can you hear the contrast? On the one hand, a tent. On the other, a building. One speaks of temporariness, the other one speaks of long-lasting permanence. One made by man, the other one established by God. Tents are made of cloth, they have no foundation. But what is made by God here is a picture to us of something solid, which has firm foundations. To emphasize the point, it says, it's not made by hands, it's not made by men, nor by the plans or the arrangements of men. This is made by the plan and purpose of God. So if you're a Christian here tonight, remember, God has a plan and purpose for you which goes beyond your earthly life. And we spend many hours talking about the troubles in our earthly life, and that is appropriate. But let us never lose sight of the fact that we were made by God for a purpose which goes beyond our heaven, our earthly tent. The goal of our life, what we were designed to be, the pointer is beyond this life, but to the heaven to be entered. The Apostle Paul emphasizes this when he describes the building from God as a house not made with hands, why it is eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. It's not on earth. It's not temporary. It lasts forever and ever, and it's found in heaven itself. If you're a Christian tonight, this is your inheritance. This is, I'm going to put it this way, not your house, but your home. There's a difference. Your everlasting home. Unending. God has prepared for us to receive. After we die, we will be constituted in the end with a new body. And that body will be marked by permanence, not decay, not disease, but far more gloriously than that, we will have a body equipped for communion with God and for glory. We'll be made and constituted in such a way that we can enter fully into the communion with God in Christ as God intended. That is a cause for joy now and confidence and certainty then. Our earthly tent. When we look at ourselves, if we are honest about it, it groans. And that's the word that's used in verse 2. Groaning. It groans. It's weighed under the consequences of our sinful condition. And our bodies are marked by that sinful condition. But our heavenly body will be marked by our heavenly condition. Altogether glorious and greater than we can possibly describe now. Paul says here, if you ask the question, what does he mean here? He is saying, we know not only that we live in a temporary, fallen and failing earthly tent, but he says, while I am here, my eyes and my attention and my aspirations are on there. We have a building to come. And that shapes my mind and my attitude about the experience I'm going through now. He is convinced that it is appointed to him to be, and he uses this word, to be clothed. He says it in verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed. That the day will come when Paul, as it were, will put on something that he doesn't have as yet. And that is his heavenly building, the heavenly body, and all the blessings of the heavenly kingdom. He knew that he was mortal. Most men understand because we're surrounded by the evidence in the mirror and by the graveyards that testify to us that we are mortal, that our lives are coming to an end, and we don't know when. But Paul, more importantly, was convinced that he would yet put on immortality, that he would put on a new body on the appointed day, and that he would enter into fellowship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ in the heavenly kingdom. And that's his goal, and that's our goal. That must be our chief purpose in life, and that is to enjoy God and to glorify him forever in his heavenly kingdom. It cannot be our chief goal to enjoy God and glorify him for some years now and not enter into the fullest expression for that for eternity. It would be the greatest sorrow and pain to us that we could know him in part now and not know him fully forever. That's our goal. And that's why Paul says, I think it's in Philippians, that I must press on for the upward call of Christ, or the call of God in Christ Jesus. That's what he's about. And then that's what unifies us as a congregation together. Even though we be disparate and different people, we are here because we love the Lord Jesus and we want to serve God by following his Son. And we desperately want to know and enter into that upward call. We want to enter into the heavenly kingdom. And we want to put on the heavenly tent. I won't use the word tent. We want to put on the heavenly building. We want to enjoy the full purpose, the promises of God that he has promised. Thirdly, I want to say to you, believing men earnestly desire to be clothed in this way. Paul talks about this. Verse 2. For in this we groan. He's talking about a burden, a heavy desire on his heart. And what's his burden? We groan earnestly desiring something. We understand what it means to earnestly desire something. To desperately want to enter into the experience of this. We earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, our living, which is from heaven. And there is something here that we must speak about, and that is that it is a particular blessing and fruit that we should desire to see in ourselves, and we should understand that God plants it in a Christian, that he has a hope for glory and an anticipation of it and a desire to enter into it. Every time we speak about the subject of death, it is a reminder to us that we are of us in ourselves weak. There is a nakedness in us. We are exposed. And as I said earlier on, that weakness, that mortality in us is a consequence of what happened right at the beginning when Adam fell. But when Adam sinned, there are the consequences of his sin extend into our lives and the lives of every single man, woman and child who has been born, with the one exception, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:12 reminds us, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all men sinned. And it's because of that that it is appointed unto men once to die, and this is a fixed statute of God. When we read these verses of the Apostle Paul saying, in this we groan earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven, he is not saying he has some kind of death wish, that he immediately wants to die. No, he wants to live. That's what's in his heart. He has a hunger for life with God in Christ. And he wants to live in the heavenly habitation, his heavenly home. He doesn't want to die, but in Apostle Paul and in every Christian man, and I pray as we get older that this is a grace that God works in us as we approach the day of our deaths, that he so works in our hearts that he blesses us with a greater anticipation of the glory that's going to come. So that as we draw towards the days, towards the end of our life, rather than drawing towards them with fear and foreboding, we enter into those days with a special grace of anticipating and rejoicing in what God has in store for those who earnestly love his Son, the Lord Jesus. That is a special and important blessing that we should pray for. The Apostle Paul looks beyond the grave and he sees a fuller and a better and a glorious life with God in every single respect. The language of clothing here is very strong. There's a picture of putting off and then putting on, isn't there? And we are going to put off all the marks of sin that we bear in this life will not be on us when we are in the heavenly dwelling place. And all the limitations of our earthly body, they're going to be changed. And we're going to, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, put on all the marks of his heavenly body. And we're going to be transformed that we might be conformed unto the likeness of his heavenly body. And that is what is our hope. Paul says in verse 3, having been clothed in this way, the Christian, when he dies, we shall not be found naked. Death for the man trusting in Christ is not the end, nor should we think of it as the end. There is a right sense we must understand that for a Christian man, he is about to be so transformed, so equipped and so clothed that he is about to enter his heavenly home to be with Christ, which the scripture tells us it's far better than the life that we cling on to so fiercely here. Paul sees the prospect of receiving the glorious robe of righteousness that Christ gives him. And in his heart and his mind, there's a yearning for it, even as he labours through all the struggles, as he travels across Asia and Greece and Macedonia in his missionary journeys and all the troubles that that entailed. He sees the blessedness of having a body like unto the Lord's body. He sees the joy of having fellowship with God in Christ forever. He anticipates immortality, not death but life, not naked but clothed, adorned in the presence of the Lamb with every spiritual blessing. Brothers and sisters, what I'm putting before you is the exact opposite of what this world teaches us. The world teaches us emptiness, silence when it comes to death. The scriptures have much to say. And in the context of life, the life that we've known yet thus far is a tiny speck of the life that God purposes for his children. In verse 4, Paul writes, we who are in this tent groan being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Please listen to Paul's hunger for a closer walk with the Lord, his impatience for the life to come, his great desire to positively enter in to the greater things to be revealed. I said to you this evening, think about your earthly life. in the way Paul describes. It's a temporary home or house we have here. But we're not homeless. God has prepared for us an eternal heavenly dwelling. The Lord Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will receive you to myself. But where I am, you may be also. That is his promise. And that is great comfort to us when our loved ones die. Secondly, I said to you, believers experience hunger for their heavenly home. Let me conclude. Our perspective, if you're a Christian, turn the TV off. Our perspective is the sky, not the grave is our goal. That's what we sing so often here. That's not the theme of the films and the radio and the TV and the media and everything around us. There's another message coming out. And sometimes you have to put your fingers in your ears and stop listening to the lies and read the Word of God. Our citizenship, it's in heaven. We desire a city without foundations, don't we? Whose maker and builder is God. We desire to, as it's written in the scriptures, to be with Christ, which is far better. And we are eagerly waiting for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. If you're a Christian tonight and we believe these things and confess these things, this is our future and this is our hope. And this is our joy, and this is what we sing about when we come to worship here. This is what we want to share with our families who don't know Christ, lest they die not knowing Christ and not entering into the heavenly blessings, but the exact opposite, that they enter into that everlasting fire for the devil and his angels. So let me say to you, how can we then set our heart on this life? And yet that's our natural tendency and desire. Pray that your thoughts here be shaped by your preparation into the future glory. One of the besetting effects of sin in us is that we continually seek happiness peculiarly and only on this earth. In God's grace, he gives us much joy and happiness and comfort while we live here. Family, children, brothers and sisters, the means of grace. But God calls us to look up higher and to look further. Don't form your plans. Don't make your decisions as if you had immortality on this earth, for you know you do not. And yet, so many of us, don't we? Making all those long-term plans. We need to make long-term plans. For heaven, not for earth. It's dangerous foolishness. Let us fix our eyes on the heavenly city and fix our eyes on the heavenly man, the Lord Jesus. That is the safe and secure path. And let me say to you, there is comfort here in these words as we grieved over our loved ones who die in the Lord. And which of us have not been touched and affected, if we've lived long enough, by loved ones who have died in the Lord? I say to you, we have to remind ourselves continually, they are blessed. They are blessed, brothers and sisters, who died believing in the Lord Jesus. They are safe. They are well. They have a habitation and a dwelling place from God with the Lord Jesus. They are with the Lord. They rest from their labors. Praise God, they are accepted by the grace of God. And the Bible tells us that their works are always so received and rewarded by God. Their experience now is better than they've ever known when they lived on this earth. They are no longer marred by sin, temporariness, corruption, or pain. They no longer walk as we do by faith, but they walk looking upon the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their view is replaced by sight and the blessed experience of living with God. This is hard for us to grasp, I know, but it is true. They see the Lord Jesus Christ reigning now. And that is their experience, and that's how we should think about them now in heaven. That's why they are with Christ. And those who say they're in a better place, even maybe many do not fully understand the meaning of those words. And perhaps we struggle as well. Nevertheless, those words are peculiarly true. They await the day of resurrection. And I want to say to you, if we're believing in the Lord now, we're going to be glorified together with them. And we will all be together with the Lord. And we will all see the Lord. Thanks be to God that the Christian cannot and will not remain in these earthly dwelling places. Thanks be to God, the Christian will and will remain in that heavenly building forever and forever. We need to comfort one another with these words. Amen.